Dads on the air, we're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our special guest today is Karen Clark. Karen is a director of Powerful, Positive People. She's a confidence and performance coach and author of the book From Bullied to Brilliant. Now, From Bullied to Brilliant is the result of Karen's 20-year journey of personal discovery and professional research to find a solution to feeling bullied, helpless, and intimidated. It's a very topical discussion point. Karen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
So, Karen, your title, Bullied to Brilliant, you're not satisfied with just survival. You're looking at this as an opportunity when people are bullied. Is that a correct interpretation?
Yes, it's from bullied to brilliant, indicating the transition that you go through. And the book is about the evolution out of a problem as opposed to the problem. And the benefits and value that facing challenging relationships and confronting situations, the benefits that that brings to individuals.
One of the issues about bullying is that there are a lot of myths which you deal with pretty comprehensively, running through the various myths. And I mean, one of them is it's a weakness in the person being bullied, and you deal with that.
Yes. Well, I think as well, people believe there's a weakness in the person being bullied, and they also believe there's a weakness in the bully. Whereas in actual fact, there is an ineffective mechanism. The person doesn't have the right mechanism to defend themselves, and the bully inevitably doesn't have the right mechanism to achieve their goals and get results. So both people are operating, in a sense, with a pattern of behavior that isn't working for them. But they're not bad people. They're not weak people. They are just ineffective at getting the results they really want. A victim really wants to feel good about themselves and feel proud and strong and resilient. That's what they really want. They don't know how to get it. And the bully normally has some deep need, deep requirement that they're looking to have satisfied. And the way they find to satisfy that need is by intimidating and dominating another person, which may or may not give them temporary relief, but certainly doesn't bring them the results they need.
And you've had some personal experience of this. I understand that when you were a teenager, you're actually transferred to Côte d'Ivoire in Africa, which must have been a shock to the system, and then you experienced some of these things you're talking about.
Well, actually, my journey started quite early in primary school, and I explained this, that In a sense, I identified myself as a victim early on because I was a kind of person that would believe everything everybody said. So if somebody gave me some form of criticism or put down, I actually took it personally and felt myself to be slightly defective, if you like. I felt other people's jibes and criticisms quite keenly. And that wasn't healthy for me in primary school. That made it difficult for me, which also then happened in high school. And then in high school, I was transferred to the Ivory Coast, which, apart from being French-speaking, which added a further complication, I was outside of my comfort zone culturally as well. So very different cultural behaviors. And the whole experience challenged me deeply as a human being to look at who I was and whether or not I believed in myself and whether or not I was capable of overcoming a situation where people were giving me a great deal of opposition. And as a matter of fact, that whole experience is what I drew on to find the solutions to the problem.
So when you arrived at high school, you found everyone else was speaking French and you didn't speak the language at all, I suppose.
No, they were not only were they speaking French, but they were also very different to me, very different people. The class I was in was made up of French, Lebanese, and African people. It was a very different culture. I came from the north of England, the countryside, the Pennines. It was so different. It wasn't funny. It was incredibly challenging for me to sort of acknowledge what was happening around me and make sense of it. And the way that it turned out, I was 15 at the time, so I was a bit of a nuisance, because it was an entirely French-speaking class. I was a nuisance for the teachers as well as for the other students, and ended up at the back of the class in the corner feeling a deep sense of isolation and rejection. I found it very harsh and intimidating.
You have a number of quotes throughout the book. They're brilliant quotes, and I think one of my favourites is one you quote from Gandhi, where he said, "You must not lose faith in humanity, that humanity is an ocean and a few drops, or you might say drips, are dirty. That doesn't mean that the whole ocean is dirty." And I think that's a marvellous metaphor of where we are.
It is, and especially in these times. I mean, the time that we're living in right now, I think it's very easy to lose heart in the face of the complications on a global scale that we're experiencing. But if you wanted to narrow that down to numbers, the amount of people that are actually willing to cause great pain and great suffering to others is minute. It's minuscule. And especially in Australia, we're very blessed here that we can walk around the streets and mostly, and this wasn't the case in Africa, by the way, you can walk around the streets here and you can expect to be treated, on the whole, to be treated well, to be safe, and to be comfortable. The majority of the world at least has a fairly high degree of certainty that they are safe. And there is only a minute amount of people in the world that are willing to disrupt that. And so the key is to figure out a way out of that, a way out of allowing the masses of kind, loving, compassionate, generous, or even neutral is better than aggressive, people in the world who are not willing to cause pain and suffering, for them to recognize that they are in the vast majority and they hold the balance of power.
So even though, as you say, it might be a minority, did all parents expect that their children are going to encounter bullying at some stage?
Yes, all children will encounter it, whether they take it seriously or not, whether it hurts, whether it damages them. That is where the difference lies. So for me, for instance, I was that style of personality, let's put it that way. I was the kind of person who would take other people at face value, take everything seriously. If I spoke to people, it was something that I meant. So therefore, in my model of the world, my picture of the world, that was when people said things to me about my physique or my potential, if they said something harsh, it's because they saw that and because it was real. So I took everything very much to heart. Now, another child wouldn't do that. There'll be other children raised in a different way or with a different outlook on life, that somebody could say something about their legs or their hair or their body or shape or culture or whatever it is, and they would ignore it because it wouldn't mean anything to them. And that's where I've gone with my book. I've gone into the dynamic, what happens between the two people when there is an oppressive and dominant person and when there is a submissive personality type, and how it can go horribly wrong. Because once you understand that you're actually just playing a pattern, I played a pattern that I evolved out of. By the time I got to Africa and became later on in my teens, I realized I actually held the balance of power again, that I was choosing to interpret what people were saying as being real. I was choosing to listen to other people's harshness and take it seriously. I was choosing to see rejection as a reflection of me, instead of deciding who I was as a person and basing my behavior and my experience in life on my perception of me, because I didn't give myself credit.
And we're speaking today with Karen Clark, who is the author of From Bullied to Brilliant, How to Artfully Avoid Fitting In. We're going to take a short break now. We're going to listen to a song about a social outcast, Vincent van Gogh. And this is a song by Don McLean called Vincent.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills, sketch the trees and the daffodils. catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. Starry, starry night, flaming flowers that brightly blaze, swirling clouds in violet haze, reflect in Vincent's eyes of china blue, colors changing hue. Morning fields of amber grain, weathered faces lined in pain, are soothed beneath the artist's loving hand. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now, for they could not love you, but still your love was true. And when no hope was left in sight on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you.
We're back with Dads on the Air.
And that was Vincent by Don McLean. And we're speaking today with Karen Clark, who is the author of From Bullied to Brilliant, How to Artfully Avoid Fitting In. Karen, we just talked about the expectation that you're going to encounter bullying at some stage. Is there any way to avoid being bullied, in your opinion?
I don't think there's any way of avoiding it coming up in your life, but I think there are a great many things you can do to reduce or eliminate the impact it will have on you. Now, it depends on the degree. So even today, even with all the resources and tools I have, when somebody is harsh or aggressive, particularly aggressive or hurtful towards me, I will have a reaction. It's natural. We all react. We're sentient beings. We react emotionally to hostility. But what I used to do was I would spend sometimes weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years, depending on the degree of hostility, agonizing over it, trying to figure out my place in it, how I'd provoked it, what it meant. I love to investigate, so I look for solutions. I don't do that anymore. I have a much better sense of myself and my place in the world. And if people choose to be hostile now towards me or choose to be aggressive, it won't take me very long to put that in a different category in my mind as opposed to taking it all personally. Now, that's a journey you go on, and it's very easy to share that with your kids, and it's very easy to share that with yourself in a sense. It's a very easy process to shift from taking everything personally, but it needs to be done. It needs to be done consciously, and you need to be disciplined. That's sort of the where you would go with the problem of bullying for your children and within marriages and relationships and families. There's a need for us to draw a line and say, I'm not going to pursue this any further, in the sense of it becomes the other person's problem if they consistently treat you harshly, badly, with disrespect. Then the line in the sand has to be drawn by you. They won't draw it.
I would think one of those big questions that you're asking in that situation is, you know, why? Why do the bullies bully? Why me? Is that something that should be addressed?
Well, the funny thing is that's the last question you should ask, and that probably is the benefit of the book, is that I've researched and looked and examined and coached and worked with people, and my own personal family, my extended family, my parents' experience, all these experiences, my children's experiences, all these I've brought together, my time in Africa, and there is actually no purpose to asking why, unless you are in a marriage and you wish to maintain that marriage. Then you would ask why. Why are you behaving this way towards me? Because that is a very intimate relationship, and you need to work really hard to make a marriage work if one party is abusive. So you'd really need to ask why. But even then, you don't ask why from the point of view that, as in, what's wrong with me? That's the last question you should ever ask. What is wrong with me? Asking why doesn't serve you. What you need to really ask yourself always is, what can we do about this? Or, failing that, if you're not in an intimate relationship, what can I do about it?
No, you just mentioned bullying in marriage. People normally think of bullying as in the schoolyard, but are you saying that that it can happen at any age?
Well, bullying does happen at any age. It happens in every possible aspect of life. It happens between spouses. It happens between siblings. It happens in families, in workplaces, in schoolyards. It happens amongst the teachers. It happens from the teacher to the student as well. That happens. Human beings are naturally, in a sense, we work on this dominance-based approach. It's not very healthy, but we gravitate towards the survival of the fittest. And what we need now is to evolve out of that. We don't need brute force. We don't need dominance. Our leadership style needs to be more progressive, more conscious, and relationships can evolve as a result. But we must work at defending our position if we are a submissive personality type, understanding our own value, and those people who are inclined to dominant behaviors need to become more conscious of the consequences of being a dominant person. Because being dominant and getting your own way is actually just as unhealthy as being dominant and not getting your own way. They're both equally uncomfortable. So we all need to work at finding a better balance and a better means of communicating.
And do you think bullying is becoming more frequent now, or is it maybe it's just getting more publicity?
Well, I don't think it's getting more prevalent now, no. Look throughout history. Go back to the Victorian age and how people were treated in schools at that time. You can go back to ancient times. Go back to, all you have to do is go on a tour of a castle in any of the European countries. We went to one in France. We've been to one in the UK. The stories are horrendous. The human beings have behaved horribly to each other throughout history. We are definitely evolving to more civilized and more respectful and more conscious behaviors. It's definitely improving, but there's still a ways to go. We've not quite got there yet.
And a modern form of this is the cyberbullying, which is something I've never really understood, in that I don't understand why you wouldn't just turn off your phone or whatever, but it's really becoming a problem, isn't it?
Again, this is it's a very important mechanism. The victim needs to establish a great sense of self, a great sense of their own boundaries and where that line in the sand is. And the cyberbullying requires of them to take definitive action. Basically, you don't put up with it. You must remove yourself from being exposed. It's the first step in the process of ending a bullying cycle, is to step out of the way. And it's just essential. It's an extension of bullying face to face, and it's probably more prevalent now because of all the access to social media and the fact it can be done anonymously. But you need to be vigilant. If somebody is being abusive towards you, that's it. They're off. They're out of your sphere, and you have to have enough confidence to believe that you will attract healthier relationships if you eliminate these aggressive and abusive people.
A lot of parents are worrying about cyberbullying. A lot of children are worrying about cyberbullying. I can recommend Karen Clark's book, From Bullied to Brilliant, because there are a number of tips on how to deal with cyberbullying. Karen, when I was growing up, my parents' response would have been, if I was called names, for instance, as a form of bullying, sticks and stones will break my bones. And I actually found that quite helpful at a personal level. It helped me have some strength to respond, I think, although I never faced serious bullying, but just the name calling, I think everyone gets that at some stage.
Yes, that's a mechanism. So you had inside of you a mechanism for dealing with bullying that helped you eliminate the effect, if you like. And that's all you need. You need a mechanism. That'll probably have come from your having a good relationship with your parents and having somebody that actually believed in you and backing you, that really, really helps. Having somebody behind you that believes in you, even one single person, is enough. But you don't need that, but it's really nice when you've got that, you've got somebody who has your back. But yes, there are a series of things we need to do with ourselves, and it's mostly it's withdrawing our need for approval. If you can withdraw from the need for approval, which is highly energized in teenagers particularly, that's why it's such a struggle for them, because not only are they in a group environment, a group of people who they don't necessarily relate well to or have anything in common with, so they're put in a sense a foreign environment, they're expected to relate well to the people in their class and their school and get on with them, but they're also then challenged at a deep level to respond well, and they might not have any of that set up. You know, that people learn throughout school, they're generally forming as a human being, and they haven't necessarily accessed yet all their tools and resources. But yes, one of them is paying less attention to what other people think. It's a great, great, great mechanism, because at the end of the day, you won't be at school with them forever. It will end, and you will have learned, hopefully, by that time, how to manage yourself in the face of abuse and in the face of opposition, and manage yourself not just to survive it, but to thrive and to become a better equipped adult.
Now, I should mention that Karen Clark has coaching available, and in the back of her book she has a list of resources that are very helpful for anyone that feels they are at risk of being bullied or has someone in the family at risk of being bullying. Karen, there are a whole lot of other things I'd love to talk to you about, but we might have to save that for another time, because we've reached the stage of the show. We ask our guests if they'd like to pick a song and why they picked it.
So. Well, the song I would like to pick would be Why, funnily enough, by Annie Lennox, simply because it speaks of the angst and the pain that comes when relationships are challenged and challenging, and I find that she summed it up beautifully in her song, that it is more complicated than we think. People do sometimes seek resolution within those relationships, and it's unattainable, and it just is a very moving and poignant song.
Why?
And that was Why by Annie Lennox from the Eurythmics originally. We'd love to hear from any of our listeners, so you can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email and we'll be in touch. And if you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. So it just remains for me now to give a special thank you to our guest today, Karen Clark. Thank you very much for being on the program.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
And we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.